Welcome to Happy, Healthy, Whole, and Rich, where faith meets action and transformation is non-negotiable. I'm Tina Brinkley Potts, and I believe now is the time to step boldly into your power, walk in divine wisdom, and claim the life you were meant to live. Each episode, I'll bring you real, unfiltered truth, because this world needs leaders who refuse to shrink. Let's get it. Welcome back to Happy, Healthy, Whole, and Rich. I'm Tina Brinkley Potts, and today we begin a new series I'm calling Healing My Own Issues with Christianity. Let me be clear before we begin. This isn't about tearing down faith. It isn't about disrespecting those who find comfort in church or scripture. This is about truth. This is about liberation. This is about wholeness. And I'll also say this. What we're diving into are things most people want to avoid or have gone numb to. Even conversations about race have been weaponized. Even conversations about gender have been silenced. That is not what I'm doing here. I'm not weaponizing. I'm naming the wound so I can heal it. For me, the wound was real. I didn't want to be called reverend. I didn't want to be boxed into titles that carried so much control, manipulation, and misrepresentation of sorts. I loved God. I loved truth. But religion became heavy. And the version that sat at the center of so much of my community, the King James Bible, felt dangerous to me, especially as a Black woman. Why? Because I could feel how it had been weaponized. Passages pulled out of context to enforce obedience. Verses used to justify slavery. Stories bent to control women, silence voices, and uphold power structures that had nothing to do with the love and freedom sources. The King James Bible was first published in 1611. Think about that timing. The transatlantic slave trade was already in full force. Colonization was spreading. And suddenly, here's a version of scripture commissioned by a king, created in the very language of empire. That context matters. For enslaved Africans in America, the King James Version became a double-edged sword. Slaveholders cherry-picked verses to justify slavery. They leaned on scriptures like "Servants, obey your masters," Ephesians 6:5 of the King James Version, while deliberately ignoring verses about justice, love, or liberation. Some plantation churches even had what they called a slave Bible, a version of scripture with entire sections removed so enslaved people couldn't read about Exodus or freedom. Even though the oppressors tried to twist the text, Black people found themselves in the stories. They heard Moses demanding Pharaoh let the people go and said, "That's us." They read about Jesus saying, "The kingdom of God is within you," Luke 17:21 of the King James Version. And they knew that meant freedom could not be taken. They sang spirituals like "Go Down Moses" as both worship and secret code for escape. So the King James Version was dangerous, yes. But it was also decoded by our ancestors as a source of hope, courage, and a reminder that source never abandoned them. This is the paradox, the wound and the word. A text used to justify chains also whispered about liberation. And for me, that's why healing my relationship with Christianity matters, because the wound is real, but so is the truth inside the word when you strip away the distortion. It wasn't only race and slavery where the King James Bible was weaponized. For centuries, it was also used to silence women. Verses like, "Let your women keep silence in the churches," 1 Corinthians 14:34, King James Version, or, "I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over a man," 1 Timothy 2:12, King James Version, were often emphasized. These passages became justification for excluding women from leadership, teaching, and even owning their voice. The impact? Women were told submission was godly, while their sovereignty was seen as rebellion. Women were denied positions of authority in church structures, even though their spiritual gifts were undeniable. Many internalized the belief that obedience to men was obedience to God, cutting them off from their power. But beneath the distortion, the truth still lived. Jesus himself shattered those boundaries. He spoke to the Samaritan woman at the well, a woman society would have dismissed. He welcomed Mary of Bethany, sitting at his feet learning, something reserved for male disciples. After the resurrection, it was women who first proclaimed the good news. So when religion said, "Be silent," the living example of Jesus said, "Speak." When religion said, "Submit," Source was actually affirming partnership and mutual respect. For Black women, this distortion was compounded. Silenced because of race, silenced because of gender, and yet still carrying the weight of holding communities together. This is why healing those wounds matters so deeply. Because reclaiming your voice is not rebellion, it's restoration. For me, the wound wasn't just about scripture. It was also about people. I noticed how church folks often became like cliques. I could get that out in the world. I didn't want that in my relationship with Source. It's why I avoided joining sororities in college. That sense of hierarchy, exclusion, belonging, only if you fit the mold, it never sat right with me. And I didn't want to experience that in a place that was supposed to be about love, truth, and liberation. As I've shared before, my mother battled addictions most of my life, and I watched how the so-called good church folks treated her. The condemnation was overwhelming. Instead of compassion, there was judgment. Instead of grace, there was gossip. The very people who were supposed to embody, "Judge not, lest ye shall be judged," seemed to forget those words when it came to her. And as her daughter, I felt that judgment too. It wasn't just aimed at her. It bled into me. And it pushed me further and further away. So I strayed from Christianity. Not because I didn't love God. Not because I didn't love truth, but because the weight of religion and its culture didn't serve me. It didn't bring me closer to Source. It pushed me further away. And yet, even as I walked away from Christianity, I never walked away from Source. That's the thing. The wound pushed me from religion, but it could never sever my connection to truth. Deep down, I always knew there was more. I just had to find my way back to it without the weight of distortion. For me, that doorway was metaphysics. Metaphysics gave me a lens to see beyond the literal words and into the deeper meaning. It allowed me to hear scripture not as a rule book for control, but as a coded message for liberation. It showed me that when Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is within you," he wasn't talking about hierarchy or obedience to man. He was pointing me back to my own sovereignty, to the truth that source is not out there somewhere. Source is here within. Through metaphysics, I could reclaim scripture without the dogma. I could read those passages and strip away what men added, the control, the manipulation, the distortion, and find the living truth inside. That's what brought me back full circle. I can now quote the Bible in my podcast with joy, not resistance, because I'm not quoting religion. I'm quoting revelation. And this, for me, is the heart of healing. To take what was once a wound and allow it to become a wellspring of wisdom. And while metaphysics gave me a new lens, it also gave me a new way of seeing Jesus. For so long, the focus was on worship, on lifting Jesus up so high that we could never touch him. But when I began studying metaphysics, I realized Jesus wasn't asking to be worshiped. He was asking to be followed. He was showing us what was possible. I began to see Jesus as the greatest metaphysician who ever lived. Someone who understood vibration, intention, word, and energy in ways that transformed reality. And suddenly, the stories I had grown up with made new sense. Healing the sick, multiplying loaves, calming storms. Those weren't just miracles to admire from a distance. They were demonstrations of what happens when you align fully with Source. And that shifted everything for me. My goal stopped being worship him and started being live like him, not to become Jesus, but to embody the same principles of truth, love, and wholeness in my life. And I think that's where so many people get it mixed up. When we keep the teachings external, worshiping but not embodying, we miss the point. But when we internalize them, we realize the kingdom really is within us. That realization brought me back to wholeness, not the wholeness tied to religion, but a wholeness rooted in Source. And this is why starting this podcast right now was so important for me. First and foremost, it was for me, my own healing. A constant anchoring while I expand myself into what Source has called me to do. Speaking these truths out loud, reflecting on them, bringing them into light, that's part of my healing path. And in sharing it, I know it will ripple out to others too. Because we are living in a time of great polarity. Old systems of control are being exposed. The grip of oppression is slipping. And those who have benefited from that control can feel it. That's why there's so much noise, so much chaos, and so much clinging to fear. The veil is being removed. You can see it everywhere. Many who spout the words don't truly live them. Morality goes out of the window when power, greed, or ego get in the way. And this is the time to see clearly. People talk about being woke, but I believe this is the deeper awakening. Seeing through the illusions, recognizing where control has masqueraded as faith, and rooting yourself in the truth of Source. Because that truth never wavers, never manipulates, never condemns. So yes, this podcast is my healing, but it is also my offering in this moment of great polarity. A reminder that sovereignty is possible, that the kingdom is within, that now is the time to embody truth, love, and wholeness in a way that no system of control can ever take from you. So take a deep breath with me. Place your hand over your heart. This is the place where the truth meets your own story. Here are some prompts to sit with in your journal. Number one, the wound. Where have I felt judged, silenced, or excluded in spaces that were supposed to bring me closer to God? How has that experience shaped the way I see religion, faith, or spirituality? Number two, the word. What scriptures have I heard used as chains? Verses that felt heavy or condemning. What happens when I look at those same words metaphysically as symbols pointing me inward instead of rules to control me? Number three, the healing. How do I see Jesus? As someone to worship from afar or as a model for what's possible in me? What would it look like for me to live like Jesus in truth, love, and wholeness? Number four, the awakening now. Where do I see the veil being removed in my own life, in relationships, in systems, in the world? What illusions am I ready to release, and what truths of source am I ready to root myself in? Let your answers be honest. Let them be raw. This is not about writing something pretty. It's about telling the truth to yourself, maybe for the first time. Here's an affirmation. I release the wound and reclaim the word. I see clearly through the illusions. I live like Jesus, embodying truth, love, and wholeness. I am sovereign. I am rooted in source. So, you've just walked with me through some of my deepest wounds, and I thank you for allowing me to tell the truth. Because healing starts with naming what was distorted and then choosing to see clearly. For me, metaphysics gave me a new lens. It showed me that Jesus wasn't unreachable, but a living demonstration of what alignment with source could look like. And it reminded me that even in this time of great polarity, I don't have to fear. The veil is lifting, illusions are crumbling, and sovereignty, being rooted in source, is the way forward. This podcast began as my healing, a way to anchor myself as I expand into what source has called me to do. But in speaking it out loud, I know it becomes an invitation for you too, to release the wound, to reclaim the word, to live in truth, love, and wholeness. In the next episode, we'll go even deeper into the paradox, the chains, and the codes. How the same scriptures were used to bind us also carried secret keys of liberation, and how seeing those codes with clear eyes can set you free. Until then, remember, stay happy, stay healthy, stay whole, and stay rich in spirit. If this message spoke to you, don't keep it to yourself. Share it, live it, and let's grow together. Head over to happyhealthywholerich.com for more powerful teachings and join the movement. Remember, breakthrough is waiting. You have to show up. Until the next time, stay happy, healthy, whole, and rich.